The voice of the Blue Bombers one-on-one with Mike O'Shea. The Proline Gold Bomber Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
Coaches Show is brought to you by DeKalb. They are ready to be your number one canola seed. And I'm sure I said it last week, the Winnipeg Blue Bombers are ready to be number one in the CFL's West Division. With a win Saturday against Edmonton, the Bombers will clinch home field for the West Final, and we will celebrate November 11th. With hopefully some great November weather for football. When I say great weather for football in November, what immediately comes to mind for you? Like 15 and sunny or minus 15 and just vicious?
Doesn't matter. When you say November 11th, all I can think about is Remembrance Day to start. So, but those celebrations will be over. Those remembrances will be over by whatever time, and we'll kick off at some point. But that's what I think of.
Okay.
Yeah.
The West Final in 2021, I've been talking to a bunch of people, and I keep bringing up great games I've seen. The 21 West Final was as cold a football game as I've been to. Maybe the 2005 Grey Cup, I believe, was here. Whichever one was Montreal, BC here, it was cold as a fan. But that one, frozen in the booth. Was that as bad as you've had in a while? Because that was a December game, right, with the late start to the season.
Yeah, one of those games was cold, really cold. I don't know that I remember exactly which one, but there's one, it must have been that game, where you did certainly feel your feet differently. And I think I ended up with a little bit of frostbite on my cheeks, but that was December.
Yeah, exactly. I like the way you feel your feet differently. I think we all know exactly what you mean with that. One win. BC did not cooperate this past weekend. They beat the Hamilton Tiger Cats, keeping their chances of finishing first alive. One win, and you guys clinch home field advantage throughout the playoffs. How much will that affect what we see on Saturday? Because you could look at this and go, well, there's the chances that we don't finish first and thus get the bye are so minimal, we can kind of do whatever we want with our roster to make sure we're in prime position for the playoffs. You could.
We have to stick to what we've been doing. We have to get better. I mean, we can't slough off this week as a, it'd be a missed opportunity if we don't use this week to get better and improve on what we did last week and what we've done throughout the season. So, I mean, that's the ask. Everybody understands how important, sticking to what we're doing, improving, having that, I'm not even going to say momentum, but having that, just that good, solid feeling of playing good football for the right reasons, So,
in the last couple seasons, you've had a chance to, or you've taken the opportunity to rest players in the final couple games because your playoff position has been settled. Do you look back at those and go, you know what, I think we did that right? Do you think there's things you would change? Is there anything of the last couple of years that you've taken away that you go, oh, that may affect the way we approach this year if we get that opportunity?
You take notes on every season, on how you did it and how it worked out. But then every year, you have a new team with a different set of circumstances that you have to make the best possible decision with, right? So yeah. These are the circumstances we have this year. And obviously the plan is to work as hard as we can this week and try and get the outcome that we want. But really it's about making sure we're doing the we're sticking to our plan and looking for those little edges that'll get us better.
Some roster moves that we'll talk about as we come along. We go along. We'll take your texts and your calls at 204-780-6868. Let's start with Dave, who is with us on line number two. Dave, thanks for being with us. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Good evening. Mike, you're a great coach. You're a great inspiration. I have a question, though, with regard to your offensive philosophy in that Zach needs more time for your guys to run their pass patterns, why don't you take one of those receivers out and have a tight end?
Oh, well, we do play with a tight end, I would say. I guess I won't know if it's more than other teams, but we play with a tight end quite often. In fact, we dress a seventh O lineman also and go to double tight ends quite often. We go to a tight end and a fullback. So we have lots of packages where we have bigger people, more protection. It doesn't mean we're going to pass the ball in those situations. We have, I think, 9 or 10 different personnel packages right now. And some of those include tight ends and fullbacks and extra tight ends. So we run the gamut, and we try to do as many different things out of those plays as possible.
Yeah, Dave, you get a lot of Liam Dobson's out there a lot, right? Liam Dobson, you'll see is 64 at tight end there. You'll see some Tui Ellie, 65 at the other tight end sometimes. You know, Dave, you know what I'm talking about.
I think Dave accidentally hung up.
All right, well, Dave, we appreciate you being with us. People like tight ends. People like the thought of tight ends. People like the thought of their quarterback not getting mushed, but I just have always fall back on Zach under pressure is better than anybody in the CFL in my mind. And just from what I've seen and charted out, he has no problems. He seems to relish it. It's odd because I can't imagine relishing the thought that grown men are coming to kill me. And you know what? I'll make a play around this guy. He's phenomenal.
Yeah, I've heard him say, yeah, I got this several times
really?
In terms of, you know, in the wanting more guys out. But Buck does a great job. Marty, you know, Bergs and Jay, they do a great job offensively trying to put everybody in the right spot. But yeah, we as you said, we do run a lot of tight end stuff.
Yeah, Hamilton does a bunch, but you guys, I would guess, would be the top two in the CFL in tight ends. Gary is with us on line number one. Gary, thanks for your call. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hey, Coach, I was awestruck by your conversation of your wife's love for the Golden Boy.
Oh.
I got a quick little story for you.
Okay.
I'm an old fart, 68 years old. But when I was 10 years old, I lived on Balmoral Street between St. Mary's and Broadway. No green space at all. The only place me and my friends could play football was the legislature. And we befriended a commissioner there who was working every weekend. And you know what he did for me and my two friends? He took us all the way up the spiral, opened the hatch, and we were 4 feet from the Golden Boy.
Uh-oh.
Oh, boy.
I hope my wife can't hear that. She'll be...
Well, I was going to say, if you, your wife, and your family want to go, I will send a letter. Only with your permission, right?
Oh, we're good. We're good. I do appreciate that, but we're good.
You can take a selfie, and you'll have the happiest wife in the world.
That's pretty great.
That's cool. Okay. It's a cool story. I'm sure she'll hear that.
Well, you let me know next week. I'll be listening. And good luck in your next game.
Thanks. Thanks a lot.
Gary, thanks for being with us at 204-780-6868. That would be pretty cool to be within a few feet of the Golden Boy. Mike is on the text line at 204-780-6868. This may go along with the tight end thing. It says, could you ask Coach, can we get a fridge play? I assume Refrigerator Perry, and let a big man get a score? Everybody loves a big man scoring.
Now, I'll say this. I was watching that Chicago Bears Super Bowl when they didn't give Walter Payton the ball to score a touchdown. They gave it to the fridge instead. I think, you know, that might be the demise of the Chicago Bears right there. That's the curse.
Not letting...
I mean, you give it to the fridge, it's all...
That's awesome.
That whole team was... I mean, they certainly liked the spotlight. Jim McMahon and those guys, they had an album. They had a
Super
song,
Bowl Shuffle.
They had all videos. They had all sorts of crazy stuff going on. But Walter Payton didn't get a Super Bowl touchdown. And the fridge did. And, you know, I could honestly, it's got to be Walter Payton. Like, why would you do that?
Well, because the fridge is an icon now of 80s football. Walter was always going to be. And I think Liam Dobson, lineman tight end, that cat, I mean, he did that one picture in college with his shirt all the way hiked up. And I'm like, he must have a touchdown celebration in there somewhere. No. I think he's probably a funny dude. So
Walter Payton.
That's all right. However we get touchdowns as Bomber fans, I think we'll be fine with it. It's 7:15. We will break your texts and calls for the head coach ahead of the Bombers and Elks on Saturday. It's a coach's show on 680 CJOB.
The Proline Gold Bomber Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
Coach's Show is brought to you by DeKalb. Book by December 15th and save with the DeKalb instant discount. 204-780-6868 for your texts and calls for the head coach, Mike O'Shea, ahead of Saturday's game versus the Edmonton Elks. Jeff asks from the text line, Coach O'Shea, will you be employing a spy versus Trey Ford? If so, who would be the likely players to fill this role in various situations? Cheers and best of luck.
I'm not sure yet. I mean, we're still putting the plan together. Other teams have done that. We've done that in the past against other opponents, but we're still putting that plan together right now. It certainly won't be me. I will not be chasing Mr. Ford around the field.
Oh, he's fast. Ooh.
A long time ago, I used to get taken out of the game, and Byron Parker was put in as a spy in certain situations.
Okay.
And we would charge him $1 a yard, or maybe $5 a yard, for every yard that the quarterback made past the line of scrimmage, that he had to put into like a donut fund or something like that. But I hated coming out. So, you know, when you put a spy in, you pull somebody else off the field. And if it's the right thing to do, that's what we'll do. And if it's not, it's not.
I can't possibly know this, and I don't know if you can explain it in the time that we have, but if you take one person, you commit him to watch the quarterback, and if he moves, you move, takes resources from somewhere else would be my guess. I don't know how to explain it best, but you're sacrificing something to protect from the fact that Trey might take off for 20 yards, or Crum, or Powell, or blah, 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 the mobile quarterbacks we
it's
have in this league.
It's just a risk-reward and seeing if you can't cover up that hole that you're going to create somewhere else.
Yeah.
The deficiency you're going to create, not necessarily the hole, but the deficiency you might create somewhere else.
Yeah.
You just got to see the value in that.
All right. Andy is on the text line at 204-780-6868. Says, Coach O'Shea, this was news from last week. Why were so many players, including Carlton Agudosi, released from the practice roster? There was a day where I believe it was 8 guys were released from the practice roster.
Yeah. We expanded our PR, which you're allowed to do for a month. Anytime after September, whatever it is, a couple days into September, we decided to do it early this year based on our schedule because we had so many bye weeks coming up or whatever. If you keep a PR guy around and they're sitting here for a week in a hotel not practicing, it's draining for them, right? It's not fun. You're not getting full value. So we did it based on our schedule when we thought it would work best. And then at some point you have to go back down. So 5 people would have to go. And then we had a couple other guys come back healthy, which then means a few more people have to go. You can only have so many people on your roster. And we're generally not the team that keeps a bunch of guys on the injured list just to keep them around. We have never really done that. I mean, we generally speaking finish very well compared to the rest of the league in terms of our injury data, the money we spend on injuries. And we certainly don't make a real big habit of using that in our system. You know, some teams would spend quite a bit more than us, and generally speaking, yeah, I don't know if those guys are injured or not.
Oh, you know. Stashing.
Yeah. But it's
healthy,
it's fine.
Healthy
it's,
scratching.
It's legal.
Yeah.
You just have to have the budget for it, and we typically don't do that. I mean, we have a lot of very good players that are on the field.
Yeah, and some that are waiting for a chance to get on the field. And a couple transactions today, you guys have added Noah Hallett to the practice roster. You released him on May 13th was the day. during training camp, but Noah Hallett is back.
Yeah. Very exciting day for him and his teammates. He's been working extremely hard to get back. And, you know, we were sort of in a position where we wanted to wait and see. And he just, you know, worked every single day to be back in this position.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very exciting for the guys. They love him.
So take him and plop him in the locker right next to Nick Hallett.
Yeah, probably. They might share a locker, those two.
They have a real strong doesn't even go to describe what I kind of perceive their relationship to be. Like, yeah, best friends forever.
They're good brothers. They're more than that, which is they're fun to be around. I tell you, they are fun to be around.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep. They got the little, they know how to needle you.
Oh, very good. All right.
Yeah.
All right. And then wide receiver Bryce Mitchell. It's the CFL website has him going to the active roster, which is not the
futures.
Futures.
Yeah.
Okay.
I believe.
Yep. Yeah. It says active XX, which is not the 45 man roster, but a 6'3", 210 receiver out of Toledo, played 5 years at Toledo, ending in 2021. We'll get a chance to see maybe what he's all about one day. Let's go back to the text line. We have another moment. Monique is on the text line. Says, hi, Coach. Glenn Suter spoke a few weeks ago about creating a rating system for the best short yardage quarterbacks in the league. Dakota constantly gets 2 or 3 yards when he goes in on a short yardage down. Can we call him Mr. Automatic?
Yeah, I'm not going to call him that. That's just begging for trouble.
he's been very good in those situations to the point where Doug and I in the booth or are they going to start going on 3rd and 2 or 2nd and 3? Will we start seeing Dakota Prukop in those? Because it's all working real well, it seems like.
Yeah, he's good, and our edges are good. I just remarked the other day that the group of receivers, the fullback Damian and Brady, they block hard on the edges. So they just don't take that play off and let the big guys do the work. They're in there grinding it out, driving their legs. You know, it's good, tough contact in there. And Dakota is obviously very skilled also in terms of his footwork and his athleticism and toughness. He's meant for that too, right?
And his balance when he gets through there, yeah.
Yeah, he's done a great job for us. It was very exciting to have him back this year. You know, it was one of those areas where we weren't quite sure exactly how it was going to go. And then Dakota pops back in there and, this is what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
But the guys up front do a great job.
Dakota was number one in the CFL last season in sneak conversion percentage, both 2nd and 3rd down. So, and I suspect I'm behind in my charting, but I'm going to assume it's right up there once again. It is 7:27. We'll break for the news. More with the head coach, Mike O'Shea, and your Texan calls at 204-780-6868. It's the Coach's Show at 680 CJOB.
The Proline Gold Bomber Coach's Show on 680 CJOB.
Coach Show brought to you by DeKalb. They're ready to be your number one canola seed. Speaking of birthdays today, happy birthday to Bombers linebacker Adam Big Hill. The big 3-5 today and still looking good.
He looks great.
Yeah. I wish I looked like that when I was 35 or 25 or any age in my lifetime. But happy birthday to Adam. Looking forward to seeing him back in action with the rest of the Bombers Saturday as they take on the Edmonton Elks. 204-780-6868 for your texts and calls for the head coach, Mike O'Shea. I was in Grand Forks over the weekend and caught the North Dakota State game where I saw Brady Oliveira and Evan Holm, North Dakota alum, and then Rashid Bailey was there as well. And Brady just was in his element. He's just back at his alma mater and just Everything was good. What's it like for you when you go back to your alma mater now? Because, I mean, years of playing football, relationships you would have for life, and it's been a while, and I wonder if it's still the same feeling when you go back there.
Well, the facilities have completely changed. The field's in the same location. I mean, the university's still the university, so you always have great memories about being there, but it's really about the people. If you go back and see people that you were with when you were there, I think that's maybe more important, right? Dennis McPhee's the DC there, and he was my linebacker coach. He's had many different stops along his journey. He was in the CFL for a long, long time with Hamilton as a D-line coach. So, but he's back at Guelph as the DC, and he was, like I said, he was my linebacker coach there when I was getting started. So I like going back and visiting him for sure. But it's they've got a gorgeous facility there. But, yeah, I mean, everybody, you know, everybody loves their – I would think most people really enjoy their university experience. So when they go back to see to their university campus, there's just so many fond memories, right?
Yeah.
And I'm just like that for sure. Enjoy it immensely. So my daughter goes there now. So
yeah.
Yeah.
So if you run across Steve McKee, I just pulled out names from the 1992 yep. Guelph Griffins. The write-up had names, Rob DiGravio. I hope I'm saying that correctly. And Steve McKee, if you run into those guys, are you just back in 1992?
Yeah, it was yesterday. I ran into Steve at a small bar somewhere in Ontario one time just by happenstance, and we had a great night. Yeah, it was fantastic getting to catch back up.
Yeah, that's, I mean, whatever you take away from sports, you were able to become a professional athlete and have a great long career. Some of us stopped in high school, but those just having competed and having done all that work together for a common goal, you're bound forever no matter what level it was at.
Yeah, absolutely. It really is always about the people you're with. It really is.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Rick is with us on line number one. Rick, thanks for your call. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hi, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, coach, the BC game. So as a fan, that was crazy emotional. It's like, and again, that last play of the game, and I just, how do your players just not get, at least visibly, not get caught up in all that? Or
they're not basket cases, eh? They're not a bunch of basket cases. They're just holding their emotions in check, and they're executing plays, and it's because they're awesome.
Zach with those two crazy fumbles, like, whatever, like, how does that happen? And yet, you know, to have the fortitude to just, your whole team, just to stick there, to stick with it.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
Well, he is that kind of leader where, you know, the guys know he cares and they know it's eating him up inside, but he plays like it's not bothering him at all. And he doesn't let it affect him, you know, the next time he's going in there, or he uses it. As I've said before, I think he's got this ability that not a lot of guys have to take that negative play and turn it into competitive fuel. Right. So it does not bring him down. He just gets back to work. And, you know, that kind of leadership is pretty infectious around the group, right? They want to have his back too. And, you know, he's talked about that before, but it's also, they see that he's determined to make sure that we get it done. And, they, you know, gives them more grit also. But, the it was an emotional game for sure. Bit of a roller coaster. The dressing room after was a great place to be. It was a lot of fun. And I'm just, you know, as a coaching staff, you know, me particularly, just getting to witness that is pretty cool.
Well, you know, I remember, I think it was after the first Grey Cup you guys won a few years ago. I don't remember which game it was in the playoffs, but I remember listening to Willie Jefferson talk about how, you know, they always know their job in defense, let's get the ball back to the offense and to Zach, because we know what he can do, right? And they were just, that was their view. Didn't matter what happened, let's just get the ball back. You know, so they can do that. So, that was a very fortunate, of course, but impressive. Now, just one last note before I go. The last two games, DC and Toronto, we've kicked a lot of field goals, right?
Yeah.
The problem, field goals are great, but the problem is the other team gets the ball at the 40.
I know.
I don't like that either. Field position. No, so that's, field goals are nice, but man, that puts a lot of pressure on you guys.
Yeah, that shorter field position now, it's that 10 yards makes a difference. I'm sure Derek has the exact stat on what kind of difference it makes. But
I think what Rick is going for here is that, Rick, are you with me? They need to go for it more on third and two and third and five and go for touchdowns.
Yeah.
Oh, listen, speak of that. Did you watch not that I want to bring up the NFL, but the NFL game was at the Giants twice at the ball, fourth and one at the goal line. And I'm watching that and I'm thinking, they don't watch the CFL.
No.
Because you guys in the CFL, the plays that our offensive coordinators run are amazing compared to what they do in the NFL. Like, I don't know. I don't get it. But anyway.
There's not much of a quarterback sneak game in the NFL. You're right on that, Rick. Apart from the tush push of the Philadelphia Eagles, they haven't quite got what we're doing up here. Thanks for your call, Rick. Appreciate you being with us.
Thank you.
Thanks, Rick.
Rick, nice enough to be with us at 204-780-6868. We've got a couple minutes before the break here. This one from Chris, who tweets at Stats Junkie, one of my favorites. Says, Winnipeg punt returners appear to get instructions to let the ball bounce if the ball comes down near the goal line. He puts in parentheses a potential single. Do these instructions change if the opposition has players onside? SAS Calgary showed a bouncing ball has the potential to be a contested ball.
Yes, the instructions would change. Well, actually, the instructions wouldn't change because the player would already be out there before they'd line up in their formation. So it's up to the players out there to recognize what's going on, adjust accordingly, like we practice every single week, and then execute the play based on the opposition's alignment. But technically speaking, the instructions don't change. But you would never, with onside players, you'd never let it bounce. You should never let it bounce.
Right.
But obviously with onside players, the kick might be different also. It might be a third of the distance or a quarter of the distance in terms of punt distance. So your returner has to stay back. As soon as your returner moves off his spot 45 yards downfield, next thing you know, they just pop one over his head. So you have to – there's – whole systems that get practiced every week to combat those types of plays.
It's exhausting. It's honestly exhausting. I just like it when I used to think it was just 12 guys smashing 12 other guys. Football was so much easier to digest, but there's so many things going on.
The kicking game in the CFL is so wonderful, unique. It should be cherished and should not be changed radically. It is such a great part of our game. And you can't list the number. You absolutely cannot go through and list all the scenarios that can come up in a game kicking-wise. There's just so many things you have to cover.
Yeah.
And Paul Boudreau, our special teams coordinator, does a great job. He covers a lot of them. And there's still things that come up where you just have to big picture, keep reminding them of the big picture on what matters on certain plays and let them be football players and pros and let them trust their instincts and make a play.
Even if you thought you figured out all the third down kicking things, all of a sudden the guy's kicking the ball to himself on second down and getting a first down on second and 35. And you go, oh, right, live ball stuff.
Yeah, you don't have enough time in a day, a practice day, to practice all the scenarios that can happen on punt return, kickoff return, field goal return. You don't have enough kick out, hands, onside. You don't have enough time in a week to go through every scenario on that. That's why having veteran special teams players is important because they just sort of run everything out there as a coach on the field. And we got a bunch of them, right? So it's cool.
204-780-6868 as we continue on the Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
The Proline Gold Bomber Coaches Show on 680 CJOB.
Coach's Show is brought to you by DeKalb. Book by December 15th and save with the DeKalb Instant Discount. 204-780-6868 for your texts and calls for the head coach, Mike O'Shea. Terry is on the text line, says, Coach and DT, flag football just got added to the Olympics. Although it's not our awesome CFL game, will you watch and be into it?
That's the Olympics. I'll watch anything to do with the Olympics. Representing your country on an international stage like that. I love all that stuff. My kids laugh at me when the Olympics are on. Not that the Summer Olympics are tough, right? Because it depends on the time zone, when they're on, and during the season. But, I am an absolute Olympic junkie.
Nice.
In terms of just watching people compete and win or lose, just watching them compete like that and for their country, how important it, you can see it in the, on their faces, in their bodies, how important it is to them. You know, it's, I think it's so cool.
I remember watching the Olympics, and it was the, he was the first swimmer ever from Suriname, and I didn't know Suriname was a thing. I think, I feel like his name was Anthony Nesty, and if I pulled that one out of the dark, I can't believe it. But first ever medal from his country. Oh my God, that's amazing. Or the woman who her cut just gets in and she's getting absolutely blown out in her event, but she's at the Olympics and damn it, she's going to finish the 3,000 meters. God bless you. Like, yeah, that's incredible too.
Yeah. There's some great stories. There always is.
Yeah. So, and I'm 100% in favor of more exposure to football for folks, and flag football is such a great game and a great way that our kids get introduced to football. So, that the LA Olympics in 28 will have flag football. Bring it on. I'll also watch some Olympic cricket. I'm just saying. I absolutely will.
Absolutely.
Brian is with us on line number three. Brian, thanks for your call. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hi, guys. I have a couple of questions for you, Mike.
Sure.
Let's say BC gets beat by Calgary. Would that determine how you who you put in the lineup on that day, or would you just rest them, like, or go with the regular lineup and then rest them in the last game?
I mean, it's they're all. That's all information that we would use to make the best decision possible. But it's, you know, to.
Oh, I see. To, I mean, I'm going to the game, so I would like to see the best players for that game.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, we got a lot of good players.
You'll have declared your roster for the Edmonton game before Friday's kickoff, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So
okay.
Yeah. So we'll know that we'll know, Brian, that we're getting Zach Kolaris and company. I mean, the whole crew is going to be there. Mike hasn't said that yet, but I fully believe the whole crew is going to be there. So all the Kenny Lawler one-handers, they'll be on display on Saturday.
Okay. And at the beginning of the show, Derek was saying, "Would you like to have nice weather?" I was expecting you to say something like, "I wanted to be very cold for the Lions," and like you said last year. Do you think that has a disadvantage for Lions?
I think they're well coached and they're professionals and well prepared, and so whatever they have to deal with, they're going to deal with it. However, they're going to do it, you know. So, once again, I would never let weather, you know, enter into being a factor for our team. So I imagine no team does it either, right?
Yeah. Well, if there is a game on November 11th in Winnipeg, I like it to be warm.
Brian, I'm with you. I would like it to be warm because we keep that booth open because we're tough up there, but I don't want to have to prove.
Obviously not if you want it to be warm.
I don't want to have to prove it every time. Yeah. Brian, thanks for your call. Appreciate you being with us at 204-780-6868. Mike is with us on line number one. Mike, thanks for your call. You're on with the head coach, Mike O'Shea.
Hey, Coach, how are we doing tonight?
Not bad, Mike. How are you doing?
Good, good. Thank you. Just piggybacking off what you were saying on in terms of competing, like in the Olympics. A good segue, because I was going to ask you about a guy that I think we can all agree his compete level is at the top. I know that Rashid isn't getting maybe the targets he's gotten in the years prior, but I just hear things like he goes back to UND with Brady to see, you know, his alma mater, and he's looked at as an honorary person seemingly wherever he goes. Could you talk a little bit about what he's brought to the team? He just seems like a guy that you would love to have 12 of them on the field at once, and just what he does even when he's not maybe getting the targets because of obviously the stable of excellent receivers we have. And I'll be excited to listen to you talk about Sheed for me.
Yeah, well, his role is unique. You know, he's a receiver that is able to play that grinding, tough blocking game that you need. So you don't always need to bring in a tight end. You don't always need to bring in a fullback. Sheed is unbelievable around the box in terms of helping open holes for our running game. But, you know, he's very respected in terms of his not acceptance of his role. I mean, that's a part of it, but how he thrives in it and craves that role too. Yes, everybody wants the ball offensively, right? But
yeah. He
just comes to work every day. I mean, you saw when he caught that pass, that crossing route against BC, and he turns the corner and the DB's coming up to challenge and he drops the shoulder and and puts it on them. And, you know, obviously that, you know, the feeling on the bench when you see your guy go mano a mano, you know, and win, it's pretty exciting on the bench. He does have the ability to drive that, that feeling for the group, but he's been nothing short of wonderful, for us, and terrific player and a good dude. I enjoy my time with him immensely.
Nice. And I also think he's the owner of the coldest Bomber photo of all time when he dove for the pylon in that Banjo Bowl a couple years ago. So thanks, Coach. Good luck on Friday.
Yeah,
we'll be watching.
Thanks.
Mike, thanks for your call at 204-780-6868. Yeah, that his Superman into the end zone, the south end zone, was unbelievable. And the great media folks at the Bombers captured it. And yeah, that's a picture that I hope he has forever. Just, I would just make that 5 feet wide over my mantle, because look what I did. He was incredible.
I'm pretty sure Sheed would not do that, but maybe we'll have to check his mantle.
I ran into the three of them. Evan Holm, Brady Oliveira, and Sheed at the game. And I said, can I take a picture of you guys for the media? And Rashid's like, give me a sec. Had to make sure he brought out his two Grey Cup rings and then bling them up for the photo. I'm like, I would too. You worked for that. Absolutely celebrate that. Yeah. Bombers are back to practice tomorrow. The game is Saturday, 6 o'clock kickoff against the Edmonton Elks. Our pregame show at 4 o'clock. You follow me at DT on OB and check out the sports show and our afternoon sports run. We'll have the very latest on who's in, who's out, who might be injured, and what might be up for Saturday's game. Coach, thank you so much.
Yep, thank you.
It's the Coach's Show at 680 CJOB.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his six-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his two-year-old at the rink.
All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.